on WhatsApp. My next guest has announced that she's stepping back from politics. Now, this comes only about 6 months after she sought to be the Green Party leader. Pippa Hackett, of course, Green Party Senator, Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine until very recently. Pippa, your decision to step away from politics, why?
I think for a variety of reasons, really. I think number one is probably the personal toll of it, the sacrifices my family have to make. I'm a mother of four. My youngest is 13. And when I look back, I probably miss most of his life growing up, which is, you know, now looking back is quite a... you know, quite a chilling feeling for me, you know, having been with my children, you know, as they've grown up for most of their lives. So that's one aspect. I think I suppose I'm an accidental politician, if truth be told. I stumbled across the Green Party manifesto about 9 years ago and got involved because I absolutely and still do believe in their core principles and what their purpose is. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. And I got actively involved because that's what I do. I'm sort of a hard worker. I get stuck into things. And yeah, it was a decision I've made for different reasons. Yeah.
How long ago did you make it?
Really, probably not that long ago, to be honest, only in the last really couple of weeks, to be honest. I mean, personally, I wasn't expecting to get elected anyway in County Offaly. But saying that, I was disappointed with the level of support from voters there. And that was a little bit of a kicking, to be honest. But I'm not a career politician. It's not something, you know, if I were, I would have, I said in one of my statements there recently, if I was, I would have joined a different party because it's not easy to be a Green politician. But I've not regretted one moment of it. And
although I would have thought seeking the leadership is a fair indication of wanting to be a career politician.
Listen, it was something I did at the time. I felt there was an opportunity there to maybe reset where the party was going. I still think the party is a party of the future. We've always kept our eye, you know, decades ahead, and you know, people can be critical of us for that. But if you don't do that, you just loll on business as usual and chip away at things. And ultimately, if we are to, I think, you know, achieve as a country, achieve as a humanity on this planet, where we have to address all those issues that are core green values. And I felt we maybe lost a few of those over the last maybe a couple of years. And I very much wanted to bring it back to that.
Is it your view, therefore, that the Green Party's fortunes would have been different if you had been made leader?
Who knows?
I do.
I mean, I think if I had been made leader, I would have certainly doubled down on that proper green policy. I mean, I would have certainly have acknowledged, and I did at the time, that, you know, our policies are inherently unpopular. However, in a world that is being battered by climate change, that's difficult, you know, pill to swallow. But you have to accept things and, you know, reflect on a situation as it is before you can move on and improve it. And I suppose that's what I wanted to bring to the table as a leader. I wanted to make our policies more applicable to people, more affordable to people, and to get that buy-in that is so necessary across this country.
Given the opportunity to do that, there might be now 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Green Party TDs there?
Possibly. Look, it was a short period of time. It was back in July. And look, we knew the election was coming up at some stage. 4 months, would you have turned it around in 4 months? I don't know. Quite possibly, you know, there could have been a bounce there. And, you know, who knows? But I'd like to think there would have been a bit of a bounce. But listen, the challenge with the Greens, I mean, is across Europe as well. It comes in waves. We'll no doubt have our time again into the future. Who knows how long away that will be. But I haven't regretted one bit of it.
It seems like a very precipitous U-turn from your perspective, in that if what you are saying is that you are looking at 10-year, 20-year, 30-year long policies that impact on the greatest existential crisis facing humanity, to go from seeking to lead the party that wants to change that to no longer wish to be involved really in any way, that's a fairly significant shift in a short space of time, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, you try as hard. You're not going to, you know, flog a dead horse if it hasn't worked. And I tried to make it work. I mean,
But you have the Copes, you have the Alan Kellys, you have people who have lost their seats or had electoral harm done to them or their parties who have doubled down, dug in and got back.
Yeah, but again, I mean, that I suppose that's the career politician that I am not, because I know I can contribute to what I believe in and those principles in other ways in my life, in other walks of life, as I have done before I joined the Green Party, you know, and got involved in politics very much so. So I believe I can still do that. You know,
I'm sketchy on the definition of a non-career politician. What is it in your view?
Well, I don't know. I mean, as I said, I was an accidental politician and I got involved. But I mean, I've been, I suppose, throughout my own personal...
Isn't that how everybody sort of gets involved to some extent?
No, some people are born into it. Some people are born into dynasties. Some are, you know, their parents were county councillors and it's sort of in their blood to be that. And it's expected of them. Certainly wasn't expected of me and I didn't even expect it of myself. So I think that's one difference. And I think certainly I know that I'm a hard worker, whatever I do, and whatever I choose to do and whatever opportunity arises for me, whatever that might be, whenever that might be, I'll get dug in and I'll certainly make sure that whatever I do will work on those core principles, which are the green principles, you know, of making our world better for the next generation.
Is it a job that you would recommend to other people?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, if you're interested in trying to, you know, change the way things are done in a country or in a local area, from a local, you know, I was a county councillor for quite a short time, but I got elected to the local authority in Offaly. Definitely get involved, because ultimately that's how you change things for the better, or, you know, or what you believe to be better. You know, we can all have disagreements with different political parties. But I think ultimately what makes green politicians different and maybe what makes me different is that it is that future look. We can always deal with crises. We're remarkable at being reactive to situations. It's the proactivities that's different. And there was a really good article today in the Irish Times from Ronan Glynn, a piece about, it was all about healthcare, you know, and, you know, if you, you know, see healthcare as an investment to be made rather than a cost to be managed. But that's applicable to all policies. And that's sort of, in my mind, what the true green thinking is. You make things, you fix things for the future, because we can always correct things as they happen here and now. But how do you set in place the policies that make things work for people into the future? And that's the difficulty. And it's, you know, I'm not shying away from that. As I said, I will continue to strive for that. But at the moment, this is the decision I'm making for, as I said, a variety of reasons. And first and foremost are my family, I think, and my life, you know, at home with my husband, my children, my farm. And I'm looking forward at the moment to just having a chilled out Christmas for once.
The dichotomy with the green policies, how do you square that thing of there being, and even when you look at the research in the polls, mm-hmm. there being an acceptance that we have a huge global climate crisis, that something must be done that's going to have a massive impact on mankind. How do you square that with an inability of the Green Party to ever convert that into a significant electoral mandate?
Do you know what I think the challenge was? Like, we've been in government for 4.5 years, and I think we've achieved, you know, amazing things and put in place amazing policies that will stand the test of time and certainly the next, you know, 5 or 10 years. But you can't correct the mistakes of the past. You can't correct the mistakes that have been made over the past 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years in this country in 4.5 years. It's just simply not possible. Take renewable energy. You look at a country like Denmark. They invested in renewable energy 30, 40 years ago. We didn't. So we're chasing our tail now. And the Greens get blamed for that now. The Greens get blamed, you want us to go to renewable, but our electricity is so expensive. The electricity isn't expensive because of the Green Party. The electricity is expensive because we're so reliant on natural gas, because previous governments didn't invest in that. So we not only did we carry the can of challenges nowadays, we're almost responsible for previous, you know, misgivings of previous governments. So you can only do so much in 4.5 years. And my goodness, we have done amazing things in 4.5 years. And I can speak for all of my party colleagues.
But why do you get electorally punished for that then?
Because it's the easy way out, I guess, people think. And you know, we're the whipping boys, really, and whipping girls. And people will blame us for the things that don't work and take credit for the things that do. And it's sort of natural.
But do you mean your government colleagues do that?
I think you can see examples across the board, especially in the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of this election, you know, when it really heated up. You know, we've been responsible for a whole heap of things that aren't our responsibility. I mean, people say, why are the Greens unpopular? You know, first thing people will say is something like carbon tax. Carbon tax has been in place since 2010. People think because the Greens are now gone in government, or maybe certain people among the farming communities, oh, therefore the derogation is saved, or we won't have so many regulations. I mean, regulations and the derogation are an EU competency, not a Green Party competency. So, you know, those things we get blamed with, and then the good stuff everyone claims. But everyone,
does that mean that you effectively get outstripped in the game of politics by your peer parties?
Well, I think that's the nature of being a small party in government. And, you know, history shows repeatedly that that sometimes happens. But I think I can speak for all my colleagues that none of us regret one day of being in government, because we have changed things in Ireland for the good, we believe in, and it will show, I think, in the longer term. I think we will be looked back on in history. And look, I wish all my party colleagues and ex-party colleagues the very best if they want to stay or want to go. Doesn't mean we're gone completely, but for me, I'm just going to step back for a time and focus on other things in my life.
Had you been successful in the general, would you still have stepped back?
If I was elected? No, I wouldn't have, because I think you would have had that show of solidarity, certainly from your local community and, you know, electorate in Offaly, and absolutely not. It would have been gung-ho. But, you know, as I said at the start, I'm not going to flog a dead horse here. And, you know, I accept what the electorate have said to me. But I don't regret a day of what I've done over the last nearly 9 years.
Do you think that there will be a soul searching for the Green Party at this point? Because mostly when Green Party representatives discuss the message the electorate has given them, they tend to interpret it as that the electorate didn't quite know what they were at and misinterpreted things. They don't seem to see it as criticism of the party.
Yeah, and I don't think that's the way to look at it. I think if you know, the electorate are not fools. I think if you treat them as such, you know, you get your just desserts. And I don't think we have, you know, certainly I haven't tried to...
But you're saying they're blaming you for things that happened before your term.
Yeah, but I mean, I think people talk about messaging all the time. I think it has to go deeper than that. I think we have to accept that most people, and I think you've said it at the start, most people now accept that there is this existential crisis. Most people see it now in their lives, even the last couple of days with Storm Dara and this sort of frequency. So it's very much there now, whereas maybe 20 years ago, 10 years ago, it wasn't really in the people's psyche. So, I mean, in one sense, there's an opportune moment here for green politics to work, but it has to work for people on the ground. And a one size fits all doesn't work for this. So, you know, I'm from County Offaly. Issues around, you know, burning turf are big and strong in those types of constituencies, not an issue for Dublin. You have to make policies work for different different areas of the country and different communities. And maybe 4.5 years isn't long enough to do that.
Some of your principles a bit?
I don't necessarily think so. You just have to meet people at where they're at and then build from there. And maybe sometimes in our maybe rush to try and get so much done in this time when we were in government, maybe we missed some of those. But that doesn't mean it can't be fixed into the future.
Do you see a time in the future where you might decide, I'll put my name on a ballot paper again?
Oh, who knows? I mean, I'm never say never, you know. I mean, my goodness, there could be a general election in a couple of years or a very short time, depending on how this government copes. I suppose, I'll never say never about anything, but just you know, absolutely for the time being, I'm quite happy to focus on things closer to home and, you know, get back in touch with my own farm, you know, instead of talking about farming for, you know, and policy making, you know, put some of those to practice.
And finally, on that note, obviously politics is all consuming and very consuming of time and attention. That time and attention will now be consumed by what? Is it full-time farming? Is that what you will be doing?
Well, look, we're not really full-time farmers. There's a very few full-time farmers, but I'd certainly, you know, definitely get more involved in that. A lot of things take a toll. Like I've a garden to tend to. I look forward to that in the spring. I'll start running a bit more competitively. I'm a bit of a runner, but not that fast at the moment. So I'll focus on all of those and, you know, use that as a cathartic approach to what lies ahead. But I'm very philosophical about it. I hope to continue to, you know, do good and, you know, champion the green cause.